hear me? All right. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn them to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1 is where we'll be this morning. Some of you might like me being sick more often. We might cut it short a little bit today. Y'all might walk out saying, boy, I wish you'd get sick more often. Won't preach as long. But you know, the devil tried his best to keep me in the bed this morning. You know what the greatest motivation was to wake me up and get up? It was all that Jesus done for me. All the pain and suffering he went through for me, the least I can do is get up for him. Go to verse number 18. These are very familiar verses to everybody. We'll start in verse 18 and read through the rest of the chapter. The Bible says, beginning here, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. And here's these two words we talked about the last 2 weeks ago. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and they shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not, for she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That's where we'll stop this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you this morning that you've just given us the ability to be here one more time. And Lord, as the song says, we've not come here to hear a man, to hear somebody, but we've come here to hear from you. And we've come to adore Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name, the one who died for our sins so that today we could have joy, so today we could have hope, so today we could have eternal life. Lord, we thank you so much for the love that you had for us, that you were willing to give up every single thing you had so that we might have everything with Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. So I pray now, Lord, as we expound on your word, I pray that you'll open our hearts. God, help us to walk out of here closer to you than when we walked in. And Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for forgiving us of our sins. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you just be with us the rest of this service, and for everything that's done, we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a family that woke up on Christmas morning, and if you're like every other family, it's the earliest day you wake up every year. Especially when I was a kid, I hated getting up early. On Christmas, I didn't mind getting up at 6:30. But there was a family that woke up, and the little daughter goes around the tree and she begins to disperse the presents. She finds dad's presents, she takes them to him. She finds mom's presents, she takes them to her. She finds her brother's presents, and she says, here's yours. Then she goes and finds hers. She brings them to where she's going to sit, and then she walks back over to the tree, and she begins to look around. And she doesn't see any more gifts. And she looks at her mom, and she says, well, Mom, where's Jesus' gifts at? It's his birthday, isn't it? And she looks at the mom and says, are you telling me you forgot about Jesus? Because he had no gifts under the tree. Now that's just an illustration to show you what our nation has done to Christmas. We've forgotten about Jesus. The day and hour in which you and I are living in the year 2018, we've totally lost the real meaning of Christmas. And that's very cliche to stand up here and say, but I want you to think about how many commercials you've seen on TV for Best Buy, for Walmart, for the car dealerships, and how you can come and get your Christmas deal. Now, I also want you to think about how many commercials you've seen promoting Jesus Christ on TV. Unless you're watching CBN, you ain't gonna see one. And that's what our nation's done to Christmas. I'm thankful Christmas is still on the calendar, by the way. I know what it means. But in the day and hour in which you're living, our generation that's growing up behind us, they've lost the real meaning of Christmas. If I were to go, even in Gaston County, to the elementary schools, the middle schools, even the high school, and ask 100 students, what does Christmas mean to you? I can almost guarantee you, 90% would not mention the name Jesus. They would mention gifts, family, food, being out of school, and that's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But can I tell you, if we miss the main reason for Christmas, we don't have Christmas. We miss everything. And you really would. You would be amazed at how many people in the state of North Carolina don't know what Christmas really means. And they don't know what happened on Christmas. And see, when you don't know something, that means it's a mystery. And in this day and hour in which you and I are living, Christmas is now a mystery to people. Because we just think it's about trees and lights and gifts. Can I tell you, Christmas is not about us giving gifts to each other. Christmas is about God giving us the greatest gift that's ever been given. That's the real gift this morning. But Christmas has become a mystery around this world because they don't know what it means or what it is. So today what I want to do is unveil the mystery of Christmas. That's the message today, unveiling the mystery of Christmas. And number one, what I want you to see is that this baby that was born to Mary that's lying in a little feeding trough in Bethlehem isn't just an ordinary baby. But this baby, number one, was God in the flesh. This baby was God in the flesh. Now, if you read throughout your whole Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, you'll see that the people of Israel knew who God was. They knew Him pretty close, actually. They saw God split the Red Sea for them. They saw God feed them with manna every day and every morning for 40 years. They saw God kill Goliath through David. They saw God call down fire from heaven through Elijah. And Moses was just sitting there in the desert and God shows up in the form of the burning bush. There in Exodus chapter number 3. So people in the Old Testament, they got to see God, but they got to see Him in a veiled form. But then we come to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. And God takes the veil off. See, in the Old Testament, this is what God said. Ye cannot see My face. No man shall see Me and live. Nobody can look Me face to face and live. But can I tell you, when the New Testament and the book of Matthew came along, the veil got taken off and man got to see God face to face for the first time. And I want you to think about this. The first people to see God face to face was Mary and Joseph and live. Because when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, whose name was Jesus, He was not just a little baby that was a man. He was God. And they got to see Him face to face. Verse 23 says that they shall bring forth His son and shall call His name Emmanuel. And it tells you which is meaning is God with us. See, God loved us enough that He just didn't want to stay in heaven and look down at us and bless us. But God loved us enough that He wanted to step down here and interact with us that we might know who He is. And if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And you'll find out exactly what He's like. He's compassionate. He's forgiving. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. He's a God that would lay down His life for me and you. See, this one named Jesus was not just an ordinary man. There's people going around today that say they believe in Jesus. And they say, but although I believe that Jesus was a man, I don't believe that He was really, truly God. Well, let me make this case for them. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 1, we learn the first thing about God. See, the Bible is not writing to us about the beginning of God. There has been no beginning with God. The Bible just gives us a beginning of the creation. And in Genesis chapter number 1, we learn the first thing that we learn about God. It says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice in the book of Genesis, it doesn't start out saying, now this is why you should believe that God is real. It just assumes that we really know that there is a God. And it says, in the beginning, God. And what that's saying is, it's assuming that we know before there was ever a beginning, God was there. Think about this. If a painter wants to make a painting, doesn't he have to be before the painting? Doesn't he have to exist before the painting does? If a watchmaker wants to make a watch, doesn't he have to exist so that he might make a watch? God was before the beginning. He always has been and He always will be. In the beginning, God. And can I tell you, the Bible tells us that Jesus was right there with Him. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And that's speaking of Jesus. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. Jesus always has been, and He always will be. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus looks at the Jews and says, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham came along in Genesis chapter number 11. That means Jesus was before that. Jesus was before Genesis 1 and Jesus was before Genesis 11. Jesus always has been. John chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus is praying. He says, Father, glorify Thou me with the glory which I had before the world was. Jesus was in heaven with the Father before the world was ever even created. We see that God is eternal, but you also see that Jesus Christ is eternal in the very same way. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He's always been around. But can I tell you, from Genesis 1, you also see that God is all-powerful. God did not need one thing to create. I want you to think about that. God made everything out of nothing. I said earlier, if you want to make a painting, you better get some paint and a paintbrush, because you can't make it without it. If you want to put a watch together, you better have the parts to put it together, because you can't do it with nothing. But can I tell you, God is so powerful that when He wanted to create everything that you and I see, every planet, every globe, He did not say, I need all this stuff to bring together that I may make it. God needed absolutely nothing to create everything. You know what He needed? His spoken Word. Genesis 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. That's powerful. I said it a few weeks ago. If I say lights turn off, they don't turn off. They don't listen to me. But everything listens to the voice of God. See, we see that God is all powerful through His spoken Word. You say, well, what about Jesus? What did He do so powerful with His Word? Well, let me tell you. There was a dad whose son was sick. The dad comes to Jesus in about 10 miles over in John chapter number 4, I believe it is. Says, Jesus, my son is at the point of death and he's about to die. You know what Jesus does? 10 miles over, Jesus is standing in Lincolnton and this guy's son is sick in Dallas. And Jesus didn't even come to Dallas. But Jesus looks at him and says, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the dad went back, and guess what happened? His son wasn't sick no more. Jesus didn't have to go touch him. All Jesus needed was one word, and it was done. 4 friends brought their friend to Jesus. They laid him down in the room, in the bed. Jesus looks at him. He'd been lame on his feet forever. He couldn't walk. And Jesus does not have to touch him. Jesus not lay his hands on him. Jesus says this, arise, take up your bed, and walk. And guess what happened? The man who had never walked before got up and started walking because Jesus spoke in word. They're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Him and the 12 disciples, Jesus is taking a nap back in the boat. The storm starts raging. The water starts filling up the boat. And they go to Jesus and they say, "Are you kidding me? You're sleeping. Don't you care that we're about to die? Why don't you wake up and do something about it?" And Jesus wakes up and says three words: "Peace, be still." The storm stops, the rain stops, and there's a calm on the Sea of Galilee. See, that shows me not only does Jesus have power over sickness, He does not only have power over disease, but He has power over nature. That shouldn't surprise you because He created all of it. So of course He's going to have power over it. But can I tell you, the greatest one that I see Jesus spoken word with was when this man named Lazarus died. And he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus looks at His disciples and said, "All right, let's go get him." 4 days, He walks in that tomb. He says, take away the stones. Lazarus is already stinking by then. And Jesus walks in. Does not even have to lay a hand on him. What's He say? "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? The man who had been dead for 4 days got up and started walking. Because Jesus spoke a word. One preacher said the reason he had to say, "Lazarus, come forth," because if he'd have just said, "Come forth," all the dead would have got up. Can I tell you, that's what's going to happen one day. My grandpa that was laid in the ground back in February, he ain't going to stay there forever. My soul, I feel a lot better now. All your family that you've laid in the ground that's trusted in Jesus, there's coming a day to where Jesus is going to step out on the cloud and He's going to say, "Church, come forth," and all of them's going to get up. And you and I that's trusted in Him, we're going to go up with Him. Can I tell you, Jesus is not just an ordinary man. Nobody can walk into a graveyard and say, "Get up," and they get up. Nobody can speak a word 10 miles over about somebody being healed and they're healed. Jesus is not just an ordinary man, but Jesus is God in the flesh. Manifest to you and me. Not only do we see this morning that the mystery of Christmas is not just that this baby was just a baby, but He was God in the flesh. But secondly, I want you to see that this baby was born of a miracle. Because He was virgin born. And can I say this morning, that's a miracle. You say, "I've never heard of a miracle before." Just read right where we read. That's a miracle. See, the seminaries can't rationalize the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, so they don't teach it anymore. The preachers that stand behind pulpits, they can't teach it or understand it or rationalize it, so they just don't preach it anymore, and they don't believe it. But can I say, it don't matter whether you believe it, whether you can rationalize it, whether you can teach it, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is true. It don't matter whether you believe it or not. You've seen the stickers that said, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." No. God said it, that settles it. You ain't got to believe it or not. Don't matter whether we believe it, it settles it. It's a miracle that this baby was born of a virgin. It's obvious here as we read these passages that as the angel Gabriel shows up to Joseph, he says in verse 18, she's found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says that that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child." So it's obvious here what the Bible teaches. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And I want you to look, if you still have your Bibles open, go to verse 16. We didn't read it. But all throughout this genealogy here of Jesus, in verse 2 it says, "Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas, And it goes on, and all these fathers are being born with their sons. But I want you to look and see what it says in verse 16. It says, Jacob begat Joseph. But then look what it does not say. It does not say, Jacob begat Joseph, then then Joseph begat Jesus, does it? See, Matthew knew what he was doing. Matthew knew that Jesus was virgin born. He says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, which is called Christ. Even Matthew in his writing style knew that Jesus was born of a virgin. You say, well, why do you preach so hard that Jesus was born of a virgin? Why is it that important anyway? Well, had Jesus been born the way that you and I were born, he'd be a sinner. And then guess what? He wouldn't qualify to die for our sins. He'd have had to die for his own. Now let me explain. When Adam and Eve sinned there, excuse me, in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says that every single person born after them inherited their sin nature. Romans chapter number 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I don't have to rationalize this morning that I'm a sinner. You can look at me and see that I'm a sinner. All of us, the Bible says, are sinners. And can I tell you, I'm not a sinner this morning because of what I do. I'm a sinner because of who I am. See, a person does not become a sinner. I want you to listen. A person does not become a sinner the moment they commit their first sin. A person becomes a sinner because of who they are and the moment they're conceived. Listen to what the Bible says. Psalm 51, David says, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He inherited the sin nature just like that. You say, so my little six-month-old baby has a sin nature? What happens when he's playing with his favorite toy? And you're ready to go to sleep, and you walk up to him and take away his toy so he'll stop playing for it. Does he look at you and smile? No. He cries bloody murder because you took away his favorite toy. And can I tell you why? Because we all have a sin nature. We all want what we want, and we're all filled with pride. You can even see it in little babies, the sin nature of the world. And that's because Adam and Eve sinned there in Genesis chapter number 3. And all of us, born with man's seed after him, it just kept on going down till it got to us. And it's going to keep on going forward until the last person that's ever born. We're all sinners because of who we are, not because of what we do. And listen, if we were sinners because of what we do, all we would have to do is stop doing that sin and we wouldn't be sinners anymore. Right? You and I are sinners this morning, not because of what we do. We're sinners because of who we are. And can I tell you, that's the reason Jesus had to be born of a virgin. Because he was born without man's seed, unlike you and me. And since Jesus was born without man's seed, he was born of a virgin, he had no sin nature, therefore he is sinless. He never sinned one time. You say, why is that important? Because if Jesus came the way that you and I came into this world, born of a man and of a woman, he'd have been a sinner and he wouldn't have been able to die for our sins. See, I can't die for your sins. I got to die for my own. The Bible says that death comes by sin. We've all got to die because we're sinners. I can't die for yours. I can't die for yours. I've got to die for my own. The only way that somebody could have came and paid for my sins is if he wasn't a sinner. And that's why the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is so important. Because if he was not virgin born, he is not the Savior of the world. He is not sinless, and we can't trust him. Can I say this morning, you can trust him. Because the Bible tells us that he is virgin born. That one day, he walked up Calvary's hill and died on the cross for me and you. The sinless Son of God laid down his life for us that we might be saved. And we can trust that this morning. And can I tell you, that's why we celebrate Christmas every year. It's a downright miracle that we read about. It is a miracle of God that Jesus Christ was born. And can I tell you, we need not ever get over it. I know we come to Christmas every year and it's the same Matthew chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 2. But can I tell you, it's a miracle of God and we ought never look at it and get over it. But we all ought to always see it and say, God loved us that much to send His Son for us that we might be saved. And can I tell you, number 3 this morning, and I'll be done. The mystery of Christmas is that this child that was born was God in the flesh. Is that He was virgin born, but thirdly, I also want you to see that this child that was born would soon become the Savior of the world. Would soon become the Savior of the world. Look at verse number 21. The angel's talking here to Joseph and he says, Mary shall bring forth a son and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And Jesus there ought to be in all capitals. For he shall save his people from their sins. And I'll give you a definition this morning. The word Jesus, the name Jesus means this. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. Now we got God in the English. You've got Jehovah in the Greek and you got Yahweh in the Hebrew. So that's why it's called Jehovah saves. And the name Jesus means our God has come to save us through His Son, Jesus. And you see, this child that was born in Bethlehem, the devil tried to kill him 2 years later when Herod sent the people to Bethlehem and said, take out all the children under 2 years old. But you know what happened? One of them got away. The devil has been trying to kill Jesus ever since He was born. The devil had been trying to kill the nation of Israel ever since they were born through Abraham. And he tried to kill Jesus through Herod, but Jesus escaped. All throughout Jesus' life, all the people were trying to kill Him. They wanted to throw Him off the cliff, but the Bible says He snuck out. They wanted to stone Him, but they never could because He had a destiny. And it was to go to the cross for me and you. Can I tell you this right here in Matthew chapter number 1, you'll find that if you'll read the rest of the gospel that around 33 and a half years later, this same Jesus who was God in the flesh, this same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem of a virgin, was hated by His brethren, was rejected by His brethren. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They put a robe on Him that they might mock Him. And then they put nails and they put them in His hands and in His feet. And He walked all the way up Calvary's hill with that cross on His back. And He hung there, bleeding, not for His own sins, but for ours. This same Jesus who was born miraculously in Bethlehem, this same Jesus who was God in the flesh. And can I tell you, I want you to think about this. The only reason you and I die is because we're sinners. That's the reason death came, is because we're sinners. So you say, well, how did Jesus die if He's not a sinner? Think about that. How did He die then if He's not a sinner? What would He have had to do? He'd have had to lay it down Himself. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He laid His own life down for me and you when He didn't have to. But He loved you and me enough that He might save us from our sins. God help us to never get over that either. And can I say this morning that I told you a while ago that I'm not a sinner because of what I do. I'm a sinner because of who I am. I'm a sinner because Adam sinned and I'm related to him because I'm born the same way that he is. You get that? And can I tell you this morning, I'm not saved either because of what I do. I'm saved because of who I am, related to Jesus Christ. See, I'm a sinner because I'm related to Adam through man's seed. But I'm saved this morning because I'm related to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So you and I are born with man's seed, so therefore we're related to Adam and we're sinners. And when I got born again when I was 12 years old, I got related to Jesus and I got saved. I'm not saved today because of what I do, because I'm a preacher, because I might be a good person. I'm saved today because of who I am and because of what that man did 2,000 years ago on a cross for me. Think about that. I'm a sinner today because of what Adam did 6,000 years ago in the garden, because of who I am related to him. But can I tell you, I'm saved today because of what a man named Jesus did 2,000 years ago on a tree so that you and I might be saved. See, you and I, every single one of us in here has a relation to the first man, Adam. Every one of us are related to him somehow. We all came forth from him. We all have a relationship to Adam because we're all born with man's seed. But can I tell you and ask you this morning, what's your relation to Jesus? We're all related to Adam through man's seed, but are you related to Jesus? Can I tell you the only way Jesus says to be related to Him, to be identified with Him, the Bible says you must be born again. You know what that means? To be born with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Can I tell you, when I was 11 years old, I wasn't saved. I knew about Jesus. I heard about Him every Sunday when I went to Sunday school, when I went to church. I knew that He was born in Bethlehem. I knew that He died on a cross. I knew that He resurrected the third day. I knew that He was sitting in heaven at the Father's right side, but I really didn't know Him. I knew about Him, but I didn't know Him. But can I tell you, the day came when I was 12 years old riding on that Christian Learning Center bus, and the Holy Spirit came along and said, I know you know about Him, but you don't know Him. And you need to be saved. And that day I called upon the name of Jesus. And ever since then, I've been saved. And can I tell you, I'm thankful that once I walked through the door to salvation, what happened was He closed the door behind me and said, you can't get out if you want to. And I'm thankful today that I'm eternally secure through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you something this morning. As the musicians come forth, you're related to Adam. You have an identification with Adam because we're all sinners. We're all born with man's seed because of who we are. We're sinners. But do you have a relationship with Jesus? Can I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter if you come to church. It doesn't make you saved. It doesn't matter if you sing the songs, read the Bible. The only way that makes you saved, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you must have a relationship with the Savior of the world. And if you're married today, I've used this illustration many times. If you're married today, you can go back to the date you entered into that relationship with your husband and your wife. And it ought to be the same way with Jesus. You may not can go back to the specific date, but you ought to be able to go back to a time and a place to where you said, I entered a relationship with Jesus right there. And if not, right here and right now can be the day to where you enter a relationship with the Savior of the world. Father, we love You this morning. Lord, we thank You so much for loving us enough to send Your Son to die for us. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to never get over. And I know that this time of year is busy for us, but God, I pray that You'll help us to realize that there's people everywhere that have no idea that this Jesus came to die for their sins. So God, I pray that You'll help us this morning to go out into this world and share the good news of Jesus Christ with everybody we see. For Lord, this world is looking for hope. They're longing for peace and joy, and the only place we find it is through Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that You'll give us the courage and the boldness to share this message. And Father, we thank You so much for loving us and giving all that You gave to us through Your Son. We pray You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.